This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. It is 5 a.m. here in the Bayou City. Let's run up to Lake Houston now. Let's check in with Mr. John Littleton, see what he's up to. Morning, John. What's up?
Hey, good morning, sir. Oh, I don't know. Trying to figure out this weather, but, you know, that's a hard thing to do.
Yeah, good luck with that, please. Let me know when you figure it out, brother.
Man, I'm telling you, Mickey, it has been a roller coaster. Wow. You know, and it looks like, you know, winter's going to hang around for a little bit longer.
That old groundhog was on his game this year.
Yeah, I'm sitting near my truck, and it's 44 degrees.
How about that?
You know? Yeah, I mean, I need to be out there in short pants and T-shirt catching me some bass off the beds, but, you know, I had to put on me another layer, I think, this morning.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. That and the dadgum wind, it's just been unreal. I know you guys are feeling it down there, too.
Oh, yeah.
It's
coastal fishing.
You know? Yeah, you know, I mean, we all can sit here and complain about everything, you know, but you know, we got the dredging going on. They got the lake down. I just checked it a little bit ago, and it says it's down 1.42 feet.
That's
almost a foot and a half.
Yep.
You know, which is about right. I was down there yesterday afternoon, and that's what it looks like. And you know, the lake's muddy, and it's low, and the wind's blowing, and, you know, I mean, I could go on and on. But we're still catching some fish, you know. We had that two-tournament weekend last weekend and took a little over 17 pounds, you know, to win.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, the bass are still biting. There was a lot of limits weighed in last week. It's just, you know, there wasn't a lot of big fish. It was one over five. It wasn't six. I forget exactly what it was, but it was a big five, you know, weighed in last week, and it was big fish of the tournament. But, you know, I was up there by the scales, and it was, oh, I don't know. There were several fish, you know, four pluses, you know, weighed in. So, and just full of eggs. I mean, they're just, you know, like everywhere, you know, they're moving up and, you know, spawning. And even in that, you know, low water conditions and all that, they still got to spit them eggs out, you know. So it'll, you know, you just got to, you know, we caught most of our fish on just moving baits, moving down, you know, buzz bait, frog, you know, just throwing up around the banks, and I don't know, I'm just digging up dirt fish, you know, in a foot of water, you know, but they were up there. But we couldn't see them. I mean, the lake clarity right now is, it ain't even 2 inches. I mean,
I bet
you know,
it's muddy. I bet it is.
It is muddy, muddy. You know, everywhere you go, even up in the bayou, a lot of times the bayou will get, you know, back in some of those pockets, it'll clean up, you know, a little bit. And, but it's just not this year, you know, with everything going on, like I said, the dredging, you know, the wind, you know, Lake Houston being a shallow water lake, you get the wind we've been having and man, it'll stir that stuff up and get it all off color. You gotta take that mental game out, you know, and don't get discouraged and, you know, go fishing and you'll catch them. I mean, we caught a lot of fish last weekend. We just, you know, we didn't, I think we ended up 6 out of, you know, tournament, but we caught a lot of fish. We just couldn't catch nothing over 2.5 pounds. A lot of males. Right. You know, just a bunch of males, which is good. You know, that means the females aren't in the area we were fishing. The females just aren't there yet. So they might be in the next, the next week or two, but we're going to keep going out there and chucking and winding and see if we can find us a big one.
Well,
it'll be interesting, put it that way. So, but a lot of the guys, you know, they all, you know, we all talk around, and you know, a lot of the fish are still being caught on plastics. You know, even on the moving baits, you know, we had a good frog bite early. You know, just throw it and kind of let it sit and twitch it, and I like to throw like a little Pop-R or Yellow Magic or something like that up there early. Mm-hmm. But with the lake level being down so much, you get hung up too much, you know, because there's a lot of stuff right underneath the water where we're fishing. So that's why I chose to throw that frog, because it'll stay floating out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, just throw it out there and twitch it, let it sit, twitch it, let it sit. And a lot of times, just when you go to move it, I mean, you know, they'll just, you know, explode on it. And you know, it's just nothing better than a topwater frog bite. I mean, it just,
it's pretty fun,
man.
It'll
get your adrenaline going. Yeah, it is. It's fun. But, and you don't catch, I mean, a lot of them, they'll just suck it in and you'll sit there, you know, and you got to be patient with that frog bite, you know, and just let them start swimming off with it and then set the hook on them. But, several years ago, I found a Lake Fork tackle, or Lake Fork makes a trailer hook for a frog. And, you know, I'll tell you what, I've been throwing that for years now. And with that trailer hook on the back of that frog, and it has definitely improved my hookups on the frog bite, you know, with that trailer hook on the back. A lot of people don't do it. It's got like a little Y, and mm-hmm. It's got two little wires that go up, and they hook over your frog hook. And then it has the hook off of the back of it.
Right.
And what I do is I always, even on my spinner baits and buzz baits, and, you know, I'll throw a trailer hook on the back of it, just a regular, but I go to the pet supply place and I buy that little bitty small clear tubing that you use to aerate your
aerator
fish tanks
tubing,
and
yeah.
stuff. Yeah, I buy that and I take my scissors and cut it in teeny tiny little pieces. And you know, once I get that hook on there, even my trailer hook, you know, for my spinnerbaits and stuff, I'll take that tubing and put it on there after the hook, and it, you know, it'll keep that hook on there from when the fish jumps, you know, throwing it.
Right.
And, yeah, because before I wasn't doing that, you know, I was just hooking that onto that frog several years ago, and I noticed I'd get a blow up and hook up and coming in and fish a jump and it just comes off, and then I reel my frog in, well, my hook's gone, that trailer hook. So, you know, that keeps that on there a little bit better. I know, and again, I don't use a regular trailer hook, you know, for my spinner baits. I call it just a catfish hook, you know. But I like the short one. You can look through some of the boxes of hooks, you know, for like I said, like an old catfish hook, you know. But I like the little short ones. They're only about, I don't even think they're an inch long.
Right.
They're a little bit short. Than a you know, most of your regular trailer hooks are, to me, they're too long. And they get hung up a lot. And
yeah,
that's why people don't throw them. You know, I talk to a lot of people, and they go, man, I never throw a trailer hook on the back of anything. I get hung up too much. Well, you know, if you try that, I think you'll definitely improve your hookup ratio. So you know, it'll definitely work. It works for me, put it that way. But I'll definitely have a trailer hook tied on to the frogs, and even in the grass, Mickey, you know, or pads, whenever you're throwing that frog, you know, you need that trailer hook on there, because they'll come up and just bust that frog in those pads and knock the frog, you know, out of the water. But a lot of times that when they come up and do that, they will definitely get hooked up on that trailer hook. But that's just my tip of the week, put it that way.
There you go. That's
that's what this show's about, right?
That's good to know. You bet. You got it.
Yeah, I mean, we try to help each other out a little bit. So, you know, it's got to, what works for me should work for a lot of people, and then sometimes it don't. You know, but it's fishing such a mental game, I think, you know, a lot of people don't realize
it
that.
Is confidence, it's all mental.
Yep. I know we had, you know, we had one area that last week that the fish were there, but it just, you know, it was all a bunch of males, you know. We had a limit and like 35-40 minutes, but you know, we ended up culling them back in the same area, and then all except one of them, and then, you know, we went to other spots, but we kept coming back to that one spot, and we just could not get a big fish out of it. But we didn't have anything else. I mean, we caught fish at the other spots, but you know, we could not. This time of year, all of my big fish spots, heck, there's no water. You can't even get into them. So
yeah, that's what Jeff Goat and I were talking about that yesterday morning.
Yeah, and I'm office out of Louisiana a couple of days a week, and I know I mentioned it before. I cross over some of those areas down there, and that wind is, man, I cross over those areas, and there's nothing but mud out there.
Yeah.
Where normally it's a lot of water, but I guess that wind's got those tides just blown out completely.
Yeah, we pull any kind of west or northwest wind, it just vacuums the bays. It's gone. Sucks it all out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what we had, northwest wind last Saturday coming into the boat ramp at Lake Houston Marina. right at, you know, it never fails. It really picks up right at weigh-in. So they were good enough. They, you know, we let everybody, you know, you couldn't tie up to the dock. You know,
no,
I mean, it would just beat your boat up. And so we gave everybody a little extra time to, you know, and we told everybody, just make sure you tell somebody, check in, you know, hey, I'm here, you know, and then, you know, go put your boat on a trailer and then find a way in.
Yeah. That's all you can do, you know, man. It's that wind blowing into the docks is nasty. You can't tie a boat
up
to
is.
That unless you don't care and just don't care if it gets destroyed. But all right, John.
Hey, buddy.
I got a roll. If somebody wants to call you, give them a number, man.
Sure, they can always call me on my cell, 281-222-8544. Just give me a call or send me a text.
All right. Well, enjoy this cool morning because it's going to warm up pretty quick.
Oh, yeah, I will.
All right, buddy.
Yeah.
See you, man.
All right, we'll see you, man.
Later. All right, it's time for a break. You're listening to The Outdoor Show. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 519 here in the Bayou City. Let's run down to Texas City now and check in with our good friend, Mr. Dave Fremont. Good morning, Dave. How you doing this morning, my friend?
Good morning, Captain Mickey. Doing just fine.
Well, that's good to hear.
I got up, and that's a good thing, and then headed on down to the coast, and you know, by the time you and I hook up on Friday morning, everybody's already talked about everything that's going on. So I just come on and say, me too. Me too. Me too, Mickey. See you later.
All the above.
Yeah, see you later.
All right.
But I'm going to roll right on with it. I'm going to act like I'm first one in line. But it's been real in terms of the wind. Everybody's talking about it, and from what I understand, it's going to switch around. If you didn't like it out of the north, you're going to love it out of the south, because it's going to come right on in and hit you. And so bring it on. I don't care. Things are going to get right. We're I keep saying we're right on the edge of something good, and we are. It's going to be just about that time to wade out right off of Dollar Point and Mosquito Island and get out there and throw the lures you like to throw, or if you're a live bait fisherman, get out there, because if you can catch these weak fronts right, I think I heard you say earlier that you don't like fishing following a front, and I don't either, but if you can catch it a half a day, a few hours early before that front line comes through, it can get real in March and April, and I think that's exactly what's fixing to take place. But it was... Man, I love it. This little old cool front, we're gonna be wishing we had some of these in June and July, and it ain't gonna happen. But I'll take these.
We'll be crying about the heat and wishing we had one of these, you know.
Yeah, we'll be slapping mosquitoes and looking for the fall. But it's nice, and it's amazing how much difference the temperature is, the air temperature is when. I mean, I got here real early this morning, and I'm on my way back now to League City, and it's just amazing up around Dickinson. It's 47 degrees, and down there on the coast, right there on the dike when I made my run, it was about 54 to 55 switching around, so that water temperature will sure bring up the air temperature as well. But not too much wind as we speak right now, but it sounds like it's gonna be ripping a bit from the south. I don't know what's causing it to switch so drastically. If there's another front coming here, I don't know. I hadn't checked the weather in advance on what's going to take place.
Man, if you don't like it today, you'll like it tomorrow. That's Texas weather.
Yeah.
I think we got something coming in next week. It's not going to really be a northwest or anything. It's going to be more of a northeaster. And not much change in temperature, just wind direction. We'll go from south one day to northeast the next, and back to southeast the next day. So,
Well, I tell you, it's been a mess, and then throw in these wildfires that's been popping up all over creation. It's scary. I got a good friend that lives up on a hill and just outside of Fredericksburg on 16. And man, it got that fire last week. It got very close to them. We were in contact, and he was sending me some videos. Of course, you could see anything and everything on Facebook or online and see what was going on in that area. But it got scary. They were packed up and they were packed up and ready to go. Just take the bare essentials and get out of there, you know. But
goodness,
they got lucky. They were very lucky. You know, he said he had a neighbor that lost something. I don't know if he lost the whole kit and caboodle of his place or not. Maybe it was just a barn or something. But he said, "Yeah, I got a neighbor." Well, that neighbor was probably 3 miles from him. You know, mm-hmm. Neighbors are spread out that way. But anyway, we were glad to hear that he escaped that and was right. But then we had this one cropped up there in Montgomery County and the surrounding area there yesterday, day before. So it's a mess with that wind blowing, but it'll line out. Got a big old bright moon and lit up the bay really, really nice, and good visibility. You can see the air is pretty clean. We had low humidity, you know, for a few days with that north wind blowing
nice,
northwest.
You know, the low humidity. Well, it was nice for mm-hmm. us, but not for the firefighters.
No, it's very dry. We haven't had anything around here as far as rain to speak of either, but not too much to mention on the fishing front, Mickey. And I'm going to tell you, these boat ramps are, I'd say they're skinny. They're anorexic, buddy.
Hey, a little dry this morning. I'm sure they are.
You pull up that boat ramp at the end, and you'll break out in a sweat. If you got a big rig, you're wanting to back up. It's like dropping it down at a 45-degree angle. Mm. So it's going to take a while, but when that wind shifts around, that old water will come right on back in probably by tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll push it all back in with the winds they're predicting, you know, to come up pretty hard out of the, you know, south. So how to get our water back. It's I was going to ask you, do you think there's the demand on crawfish, there's more people eating them now because it's so hard to keep crawfish or get them?
There's a big demand, and if you roll back and look a year ago this time, the crawfish prices across the board, and you know, they from one business to another, it'll change, and it's based on how many sacks they've got and how much right. how much pressure they have on their place, you know. So it's kind of hard to say. It's very confusing, but I think people are buying a lot more crawfish this year than they did last year, and the price is less. It's still not where we would like it to be, but Mickey, things ain't never going to be like they used to be.
No, they're not. I never thought I'd live to see bass limits more liberal than trout limits and crawfish prices higher than shrimp prices. Never thought I'd live to see that.
Well, it probably shouldn't be that way, but what's happened is crawfish used to be kind of like a byproduct, you know. It was just something that they caught and they had extra, but now it's a huge mega business, you know. In Louisiana, they spend so much money clear cutting and building these farms for crawfish that used to be just, hey man, they were growing rice like crazy, and then they'd have crawfish in those fields, you know, when they flooded everything. And then they say, hey, throw out some traps and catch some crawfish and sell them at a little stand. Hey, it ain't like that no more. And I get a lot of folks here in the last few weeks because we haven't had crawfish. We haven't had any to cook, and just a smattering that we had. But that doesn't mean necessarily that we're not getting any crawfish, because I just went through the warehouse and they got some huge wholesale orders. And those are customers that, you know, I don't know how to word it, but they're pretty much a guaranteed sale in terms of, we look at the right numbers, you say, okay, you need so many sacks for Joe Blow's business and on down the line. And I went through the warehouse a while ago, and I'm having a hard time getting around because of their crawfish sacks. But they're all going out. They're going out in 18-wheelers. They're going out in smaller box trucks, and they're going in all different directions. And we try to work it out to where we have a blend in between the wholesale and the retail. Well, lately, the pressure for the wholesale has been very, very heavy. I mean, you wouldn't believe. So there's crawfish coming. You know, I can say then
demand for them. I think there's just right, so many people that are into it now.
Oh man, yeah, and so we put reservations up, and it's kind of like, you know, the wholesalers pretty much put up reservations. They'll get with Jason and say, hey, man, I want 100 sacks, 150 sacks for my business or whatever for whatever day. And so what Jason does, he says, hey, you know, let Derek, who does a lot of scheduling, and me, say, hey, man, we're going to open up reservation lines on Monday. Let's do it. These are the prices. Tell them it's subject to change, and they do change. Sometimes during the day, we'll have to slow down so many orders, they'll kick up the price a bit. But this last week and the week before, it's been like, had to shut them down, had to shut reservations completely down, and then kind of open them back up slowly and take a few more 100 sacks or whatever. But by the time all that's done, we're scared to say, yeah, we're going to have crawfish for walk-in customers, you know. So if you're going to want crawfish for the weekend, you just, I'm not just saying Boyd's. If someone's offering reservations or holds or whatever you want to call it, do it, because you never know what it's going to be like come Friday and Saturday. But anyway, all some of that stuff don't mean nothing. People don't eat the crawfish. They don't want to hear all this junk. But a lot of people do. They want to know what's going on. So it gets down to what are we going to do this weekend? I talked to Jennifer. She's out there. She had orders up to her neck. She had a problem with one truck, this and that. She had all kind of things on her mind. But anyway, she said, David, right now I don't have a clue what we're going to have for either walk-in customers. So I said, Jennifer, I'll talk to you later. If you got time, shoot me a message.
One thing y'all probably do have, and you're not going to run out of, is shrimp.
We do have shrimp, and boy, we have lots of shrimp. Those 9-12s heads on, and we got the 16-20 tails, which is the same thing. Same shrimp, head on or head off. That changes the count, you know. Mm. And then, but we got plenty of shrimp, and that's my go-to anyway, Mickey. As you and I well know, we like them old sweet Gulf shrimp, and that's what we're going to stick with. And then we'll go to a crawfish boil, or we'll do this or that.
Oh,
but
sure, I don't turn my nose up to boil crawfish whatsoever.
Yeah. No live shrimp, Mickey. I walked through, and because of the low tides and the gale force winds, the shrimpers hadn't been able to get much. They'll be going out today, and we'll probably have some in around lunchtime. But there's finger mullet and live mullet right now there at the store, just about every kind of lure hanging on the wall you'd want to have. So we can get you out there if you can find some water to fish in.
Yeah, and if you're hungry, the Cajun Grill next door's got some pretty good food too, buddy.
Yeah, they've been making up some good. Yeah, they got some good grub.
Yeah, they do. Well, it's always good to talk to you, Dave. If somebody wants to come down to Boyd's, give them some info how they can get there, who they can call, what to look for, all the good stuff, all the trimmings.
Thank you, Mickey. There's always appreciate hooking up with you on Boyd's. Thanks, you, Jason. Hey, everybody, and don't have too much to say, but I can turn right around and say it backwards, and we can do it again. But always good to talk to you as well. And 227 Dyke Road, Boyd's One Stop, Boyd's Cajun Grill. When we open in Santa Fe, it's 16947 Highway 6 out in the sticks. And Well, we'll be cooking up there pretty soon. We had a great day. We broke all records.
I was gonna ask you about that. Y'all broke some kind of all-time record on.
I tell you, we cooked up so much crawfish at some unreal prices. Jason made up a bunch of combo deals, and by the time you try to figure that, put your pencil to all these different, you get this many sausage, corn, and all this stuff, and so many pounds, you get hungry. You get hungry just trying to figure that up. But people were lined up all the way down Highway 6. It was like, my goodness. But they got through. They did it and got it, but just an unreal amount of crawfish.
What I've heard and understand, that guy cooking them crawfish over in Santa Fe, people say they're the best they've ever had. They eat them all over. It's unbelievable.
Salvador Garcia, he has got a recipe. I mentioned it on there. I said, now a lot of young folks won't get this, but he's got a recipe equivalent to the Baldwin sisters on the Waltons. He's got he's got a secret recipe, and it's where he puts some whiskey in it or something, because people just come to it. But he does. He has a good recipe. And Santa Fe.
What's the name of y'all's mix? You can buy it by the bag.
That's Rosie Joe's.
Rosie Joe's.
Rosie Joe's, and we mix that and throw in some of that Swamp Fire liquid, and that's it. And then it's just the timing, and then when to throw the ice in to where it'll suck up that stuff into those crawfish.
Yes.
It's good stuff, man. Come on down and check it out sometime.
All right, buddy.
Thank you.
Well, Dave, you have a great weekend. Always a pleasure talking to you. Check in with you next week, my friend.
Same here, buddy. We'll see y'all later. Everybody be safe. Bye-bye.
You do the same. See you, man. All right. That's Dave Fremont down at Boyd's One Stop in Texas City. And if you're looking for the ultimate outdoor adventure, welcome to Rusty Hook Ranch, a premier hunting and fishing destination right in Matagorda, Texas. Whether you're after waterfowl, quail, thermal hog, or even alligator hunts, Rusty Hook Ranch has it all. And don't forget about their top-tier Matagorda Bay fishing charter. So bring your friends, your clients, let the boys at Rusty Hook Ranch take care of everything from five-star lodging, skeet shooting, and sporting clays to a fully stocked bass pond. And your weekend here will be one you won't soon forget. So if you need a place for team building, family reunions, weddings, or other events, Rusty Hook Ranch can sleep large groups up to 40 and host events for up to 300 people. So why wait? Experience the best of Texas at Rusty Hook Ranch. Book your adventure today at RustyHookRanch.com. That's RustyHookRanch.com. Tell them Captain Mickey sent you. Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It is 5:40 here in the Bayou City. All right, let's run over down south towards Galveston Way and check in with Captain Steve Hillman this morning, see what he's up to. Good morning, Steve. What's happening?
Howdy.
Howdy.
What's going on in your world this morning? Any good fishing reports coming in?
Not a lot. pretty grim.
Yeah, man, this weather. I was telling Jace, I said, I'm done. I'm done with winter. Golly. When's the first day of spring? Is it today?
That was yesterday, I think.
Was it?
Yesterday, yeah.
Man. I got a dead-gum bee in my truck. There he goes. That's weird. It must be from yesterday working at Mom's. A little, some kind of little wasp or something in here.
Yeah, I saw a couple of red wasps out yesterday kind of humming around. So it's...
Oh, yeah.
Spring's breaking.
Yep. And between the dust and the pollen, I went and mowed Mom's property yesterday. Good God, I still can't breathe.
I know. I did that day before yesterday, weed eating and mowing and all that. And I got a little bit of a sniffle going. Nothing to write home about.
Yeah, there was one day on the water... I fished, man, I think I've only missed 2 days since last Friday. I fished through the weekend. I fished a rare Saturday and then Sunday. And then I didn't go yesterday with that wind. But anyway, there was one day, maybe Wednesday, where I don't know if it was that Saharan dust or whatever. We're fishing, man. It looked like fog. And I videoed it, took pictures of it, and then I had this film all over my GPS screen and all over my gel coat and my gunnels. Did you have all that at your house?
Yeah, that was just from Wednesday. You know, the westerlies, you know, blowing all that dust this way. It's not Sahara.
It's crazy.
It's a little early for that, but that's coming. You can bet on that.
Is it?
Hopefully, okay, it will. It'll knock the hurricanes down. They claim it deters them. You know, keeps the
oh really
building. Yeah.
The what dust they does? Huh? I'll be dying.
Right up to where Beryl got us early last year. I mean, what was that like? Around the first of July, a hurricane.
It was early. It was late June, early July, something
heck?
Like that. It was really early. Yeah, we were talking about that the other day because I've still got one tree left in my yard that I haven't cut up. We lost six trees here on my property. I've got one widowmaker left, man. It's a giant ash tree, and it fell right in the fork of a big oak tree, and I'm going to have to get a man lift or something to top it out before I can get it out of there. But no, fishing's been just kind of back and forth for me. Had some pretty good days. Of course, I've been drifting every single day and doing some spring break stuff with regulars, with longtime customers, a lot of them bringing their kids and whatnot. But I think only two what I consider slow days in the last couple of weeks. I had a five fish day with Rick and his grandson. That was Monday. That was this past Monday.
Right.
And it blew a little bit. We couldn't really get anything going keeper wise, you know. And then we had a drum in there that we kept. We're catching about a drum or two a day right now. There's like 18 to 20 inch drum, but and then all the trout are just, man, they're like the legal fish are 16 and a half to 18 inches. Every once in a while we catch 20 incher, but man, they're butterball fat. They're just gorging on these little shad. There's so much bait. I don't know if I sent you those pictures. I know I sent them to James the other day. We're foul hooking all these little bitty minnows, and they weren't shad. I mean, I'm seeing a bunch of shad, but there's some other junk in the water that there's just so much stuff, and these fish are just gorging, man. They're just swimming through with their mouth open.
Yeah.
And that makes it, if you throw that in there with the extreme tide fluctuations, especially these low early morning tides. Good God, I'm so sick of that. But the tide fluctuations, the water temperature fluctuations, backside of the moon, man, we can use every excuse in our bag right now.
We got them, man. We got excuses, no doubt.
But we're still doing okay. We've had some 13 and 15 fish days, and that's legal fish. I mean, there was one day we caught like 28, 29 trout, but about half of them were throwbacks. Catching a few flounder mixed in, but these fish, the fish I've been piddling with, some of them are moving around now. They're starting to really do that. I don't know, following the bait, seeking out other areas. A lot of it's out of necessity. I told you a couple weeks ago, some of those fish were catching on shorelines. There wasn't any water for them, so they had to pull out deep, you know, with low tides. But some of those fish, I was talking to a buddy of mine yesterday, some of those fish that pulled out on that real low tide a couple weeks ago that I found,
yeah,
they're still there, and they turn kind of small, but there's some really good ones. I say really good ones, 18 to 20 inch fish mixed in with them. So you know, some of these conditions lately with the wind shifts and the tide fluctuations, it kind of forced me to find stuff that, you know, if we're going to go fishing, which we have to most days, you can't just, if you can't go to your spot, your so-called, you know, sweet spots, because Mother Nature won't allow it, you either pull the boat out of the water and go home, or you go try to find something else. And luckily I found a couple of patches of fish in other areas. And one area is just really, I haven't caught much there in the last few years, and it it's kind of turned on. And again, it's got a lot of little ones mixed in, but it's, you know, it's still worth it. And it gets you, you know, gets you going some mornings when you can't, like we've had a couple of slow starts, more than a couple of slow starts, where we just get a few bites early. And then you just, you're pulling your hair out, running all over God's creation, looking for something for your guys. And
you know, out of all the years I've been doing this, probably that early bird get the worm stuff, you know, when you're boat fishing. Man, I think I probably caught the bulk of my fish out of the boat between 8 o'clock and on, you know.
Yeah, drifting. Like. Yeah.
Now, waiting's a different deal, you know. You get out of the boat and get in the water and get right on them. And those fish turn off pretty quick, and then you can get in the boat and go fish deep and find biting fish that way. That's
exactly
what I've seen
right.
Forever, you know.
No, that's exactly right. And, you know, these fish, we just don't get the – of course, we're not quite there yet. We're still in this tweener mode, but these fish, we don't get the help from the trout that we used to get. And what I mean by that is they just – they're not popping slicks every day. They're not showing you where they're at every day.
Well, there's not enough of them to make that a preference, you know.
Yeah, but we've had a couple of days, I think Wednesday, and I'm probably getting my days screwed up, but whatever.
It doesn't matter. It's in the same week. That's all that matters.
But Wednesday, gosh dang, who did I have? Oh, God dang, I had two guys that hadn't fished me in 4 or 5 years, Russell Knight, Steve Tuttle. Steve came all the way down from Maine. He didn't come down here to fish with me, Lord knows, but he was down here. He was down here for something else. But at any rate, we started out slow that day, and the water was really off color. We had a really hard wind the night before, and tried to fish where I'd been fishing, and I think we caught, had one legal fish is what we had. Had one like 18 and a half inch trout. And a couple of dinks, and it was just dead, dead, dead. Oh. And I went to one of these other areas over kind of shallow shell, about 3.5 foot of water over pretty hard shell. And the wind was picking up a little bit, and we had a little northwest wind that had kicked up, and that water started streaking a little bit. And these turns, all these little head knockers were just dive bombing all this microscopic stuff that's in the water column. I had nothing else to focus on. I had nothing. And we just started drifting that color change where those terns were diving. And man, we caught like 7 or 8 trout on one drift, and only like 4 of them were legal. But that got us going.
Yeah.
And then they all turned little. And then that bite finally went away. And so I went back to check on where I originally started, and the water had cleared up. Tide had come in some, and the water had cleared up some. And we had been throwing Texas roach and then slamming chicken. Mm. And we went back to that first stop. And this was hours later, man. It was like 4 or 5 hours later from when we started the day. And the water was like that chalky green. And the sun was out good, and nothing. I smell a slick, look over my shoulder, one little bitty slick. I mean, just, I love that smell. I mean, a good, pure trout slick smell. And I told the guys, I said, man, there they are. I don't know if we can get them to eat. Cause it was like a west-northwest wind at like, I don't know, probably 13 or 14 and high pressure. I said, there they are. And went over there, and I put I put that Laguna shrimp paddle tail on, little pink paddle tail, and straight retrieving it through those slicks, popped a 19 incher, switched Russell and Steve over. We caught like 8 or 9 more doing that. And that one slick actually ended up being 5 or 6 slicks when the dust settled. But that one slick saved my butt, and they weren't where they were supposed to be. They were about 100 yards from where they were supposed to be. So these fish are moving, man. They're following that bait around right now.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, well, that's that spring movement. That's something we've been fighting for years. All right, Steve-O. Well, hey, man, somebody wants to come down to G-Town, hook up with you, do a little fishing, whole lot of catching.
Come on.
How they get a hold of you, man?
got a few holes to fill, but
bring it.
409-256-7937.
All right, Hillman. Always a pleasure. You have a good good weekend, and I'll talk to you on the next run, brother.
I'll holler at you later.
Okay, Steve. See you, man.
Mickey, thank you.
All right, later. All right. Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back in the morning bright and early, 4 a.m., right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.